Welcome back, folks. We've got quite the task, actually, in this half hour, because we're going to talk about the river that never sleeps, the people, the infrastructure that keeps Louisiana economy moving. And I can tell you every day is a learning day for me about what goes on in the river. So we're going to try and cover a bunch of different things in a half hour, which is literally, I guess, partially almost impossible because of all of what they do. But we're joined by Christy App, Chief Commercial Officer, Port of New Orleans, as well as Captain Henry Peterson, President of the Associated Branch Pilots. Folks, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Noel.
Good morning, Noel. Thank you for having us.
Thank you, Captain. All right, let's jump in because we got a lot to cover. Let's just talk first about river pilots, what they are. Folks think about pilots on an airplane, but let's talk about what it is that river pilots do.
Hey, good morning, Noel. Again, I'm with the Bar Pilots, and we're responsible for piloting ships in and out of the Southwest Pass and Mississippi River, and we work closely with the ship's crews and their captains to safely navigate deep draft ships in and out of the Mississippi River and safely move over 500 million tons of cargo a year in and out of the Mississippi River port system. This is the largest and most complex port system in the world. When you combine the five different port authorities, and with that amount of cargo moving, unfortunately, it does prevent a lot of challenges. So it's our job to mitigate risk and make sure that everything can move as efficiently and smoothly as possible.
I will tell you, Captain, I rode with the Crescent Pilots on a cruise ship. And I have been looking for that opportunity for a number of years. I did it several years back when cruise ships first started here in the Port of New Orleans. We left on a Sunday afternoon. First off, the levees look like a speed bump on a road. And you're going down the river, I don't know, 18, 19, maybe 20 knots. I mean, you're hauling, right? We left. It was beautiful sun. We ran into a thunderstorm where we couldn't even see the bow of the ship. And later, we ran in, by the time we got to Pilot Town, we were in fog. And when I went to get out of the ship to get into the tender, I didn't realize exactly how rough the river was. And we had to jump and time our jump onto the tender. And when they told me what I had to do, I said, "What, are you kidding? I mean, are you out of your mind?" Yeah, but we did it, and we didn't break a bone, so we felt pretty good about that accomplishment. I've had several people tell me, "I don't know what these guys do." I said, "Well, let me tell you what they do." First off, I would have never have believed it, right? And it couldn't have been staged any better. But the reality is that ship, the size of these vessels, and I mean, you know, cruise ships are probably the safest of all the ships that you guys pilot down that river. You tell me if I'm wrong. I've seen some, you know, we passed a bunch of ships. I don't know that I would trust much. So, I mean, you don't control the equipment itself and the maintenance of it, but you got to make the best of all of that. And I can tell you, I have a newfound respect for river pilots as a result of my experience, because it was hairy. That one little afternoon got a taste of everything, quite frankly. It was interesting. But it was, I understand now more than ever.
Yes, you're exactly right, Noel. Every day, every transit's different, whether it's traffic, weather. A lot of planning goes into before we step on board a ship. We board in the Gulf of America, so it gets certainly pretty rough out there. Sometimes it's anywhere from 6 to 10 foot seas. So it's not uncommon to have to board in pretty dangerous conditions. Unfortunately, just after January of this year, there was a pilot in Panama City, Florida, who was disembarking in the Gulf, and he unfortunately passed away when he fell off the ladder. So it is extremely dangerous. It's not something that we take lightly. And as Christy can attest to, because she's ridden with us before as well, it's something that is can be pretty eye-opening when you do it for the first time.
Christy?
Yeah, I agree. I agree, Noel. It was funny. I've always told people, I said, I'm not necessarily scared of heights, but I am scared of plunging to my death. When you're climbing up and, you know, when you're boarding those ships, especially out in the Gulf, the weather conditions, the sea conditions, you know, that doesn't stop the pilots from working. They board in all conditions. So it really is humbling to be able to get onto and off of those ships and really see, you know, just the quality of skill that all our pilots have here along the river to weather those conditions and to continue to deliver commerce in and out of the river under those circumstances.
And the training to do this is extensive, right? There's special schools, there's apprenticeship programs that you have to go through, and extensive testing to get through in order to become a pilot, right?
That's correct, Newell. Every group is different. There's approximately 60 pilot associations in the United States. However, with us, it's essentially from start to finish, in best case scenario, roughly about a 10-year process from when they have to go to a maritime college and then receive a U.S. Coast Guard license and work in the maritime industry. And then our apprenticeship is a several-year-long process that culminates in that last year where a training pilot works alongside a state commission pilot and pilots over 1,000 ships in that single year. So in that last year, they get to see every single type of ship that comes into the river, day or night, different types of traffic patterns and situations, all different types of weather situations. You get pretty much everything thrown at you in that year. And then one of the big things, too, is to realize that right now there is no maritime program like that at the college level in Louisiana. However, the Louisiana Maritime Academy associated with Nichols University is scheduled to come online in 2028. So that'll be a fantastic asset for the state.
Yeah, I believe a number of pilots go to Texas schools. There are some East Coast schools and some European schools as well, right?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Let's pivot real quick. Dredging. Let's talk about that, the importance of dredging in the river and why it has to happen.
Yeah, so dredging.
Hi, Christy. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Henry.
Yeah, so dredging's crucial for the Mississippi River. As you know, a lot of sediment comes down the Mississippi River, specifically in Southwest Pass. Sometimes dredging is occurring year-round. Right now, we have four dredges down there working as we speak. And it's vital to maintain the depth of the channel. They kind of say that we need the three R's: reliability, resilience, and redundancy. And we have to keep the channel dredged in order to maintain that reliability and confidence in the shipping industry that they can bring their ships to the Mississippi River and they'll be able to get them in and out with the desired cargo. The other thing that a lot of people don't realize with dredging is the part that plays with coastal restoration. Since 2009, they've created over 16,000 acres of land through beneficial use of dredged material. That's material that they dredged out of the ship channel and dredged ashore. So it's been a huge asset to being able to create land and protect our coast as well.
Yeah. Let's pivot to anchorages where these vessels ultimately end up parking along the River Christie and how important that is to maintaining the economy of the river and have it move efficiently.
Yeah, so the anchorages are a unique sort of commercial advantage that the Mississippi River has in comparison to other Gulf ports. You look at anchorages much like you look like a federally Coast Guard designated parking spot up the river. And what those present to, especially from a commercial perspective, is the opportunity for a lot of our grain shippers, our refineries as well, to bring ships up from the sea buoy to stage them in these anchorages and then be able to get them to the docks quicker. You look at places like Houston, you know, you would have to come in, say you're at the sea buoy, you come into the Houston Ship Channel, and there's really no place for them to go. So if there's, whether it's a staging or whatnot, sometimes you then have to turn around and then go back out into the Gulf. So these anchorages really present us with a commercial advantage to be able to get these ships to our refineries docks, our grain shippers docks, and have them moving back out of the river and into global commerce.
All right, we got to get to a break. When we come back, we'll continue this conversation with Christy App, Chief Commercial Officer, Port of New Orleans, as well as Captain Henry Peterson, President of the Associated Branch Pilots. Stay with us. All right, we're back, folks. Let's go to Captain Henry Peterson, President of the Associated Branch Pilots. From your perspective, Captain, what is really so important about the Mississippi?
Yeah, it's a great question, Noel. 60% of the United States' grain exports come out of the Mississippi River. Right now, roughly about 20% of the U.S. production of LNG comes out of the Mississippi River. So it's very clear that the Mississippi River is paramount to farmers in the Midwest. And when they export out of here, they need to know that their shipments are going to be able to be shipped out on time and on schedule. And then most importantly, as we've seen recently with disruptions related to the Russia and Ukraine war and the Strait of Hormuz, that has only more solidified the strategic importance of the Mississippi River and what we do here on a daily basis.
Yeah, it's we're going to revisit this, Christy, again, because there's so much more information and I think the public would love to hear about what the activities are on the river and the impact that it has on our economy. So I'll have my producer reach out to y'all because I really do want to finish up on this topic, and hopefully y'all can accommodate us in that request. Thank y'all so much for joining us today. We truly appreciate it, and have a great weekend.
Thank you, Noel.
All righty, we'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.